The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
And this is Jonathan Healy in the Cork studio at Republic of Work and in the Dublin studio in Marconi House. It's News Talk's tech correspondent, Jess Kelly. Jess, good morning.
Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
So you got the Lewis in,
yes.
And up till now, the doors automatically opened and you got out, and now you have to press the button again.
I'm really annoyed about this, and I know it's not like me to be annoyed about things, but it's so frustrating. I have been travelling on the Lewis into work every day since forever, basically, and we were on even during when the lockdown was in place because we were essential workers and we were coming in. And bit by bit, we saw measures get better. Obviously, the introduction of mandatory masks was fantastic and it made me feel a bit safer on my way in. But as of yesterday, Lewis has been replying to people on Twitter saying that the drivers are no longer opening the doors. The reason they've cited is safety, but they haven't gone into any further information than that. But it's really, really, really annoying because it means now that at every single stop, at least one or two hands are going on the buttons. And it's just, it's one of those things that's so unnecessary and it was working so well for such a long time.
Can you use your elbow? Can you use your knuckle? Can you do something that does you, like obviously
listen,
the fingers are the bit you're trying to avoid touching the button.
I nearly did a karate kick to open it today because I didn't want to use my hands. So yeah, no, you can. But the fact of the matter is, it's an easy fix surely for Lewis to continue to hit the button that opens all the doors and then hit it again to close all the doors. Surely it could, you know, continue to happen for the foreseeable future. It's one of those things that, you know, a few people here in the office who also get the Lewis in were saying this morning, God, it's really not ideal because, you know,
if you get the bus, the door opens, and you know, I think they have the middle doors back in the Dublin buses now. Anyway, I don't think they're in Cork. I think you still have to get on and off at the front.
Mm.
But on the trains, on the Dart as well, on the Intercity, they all open at the same time. Everybody gets on or off. There's no safety issue there. Jess, did you think we'd ever be reduced to being worried about having to press a single button?
No, but I'm also, you know, worried about what my mask is doing to my fringe and all the rest. So, you know, 2020 is weird. It's a weird year.
I'm being told to move on from the Lewis because this is the technology slot, and even though the button is technology,
I'm getting daggers through the window, so we have to move on.
I've spent the morning ignoring them. They're fine. I'm very far away. Anyway, let's talk about Garmin because, as I described them earlier, the fancy watches, but they're barely telling the time at the moment because of this hack.
Yeah, this is not ideal. Anyone who has one of these wearables, and Garmin are one of the biggest brands when it comes to fitness and sport trackers. Their system went down 5 or 6 days ago, and there was no real messaging. Anyone who has a Garmin watch will have noticed that the watch was still doing bits and pieces, but when you go into the app to try and look back on your stats, which is one of the key features of these wearables,
this is the insufferable ones. Is it 12,000 steps this morning already?
The worst of people. The app was basically saying that the system was down, but it wasn't explaining why. And so naturally, rumours started to fly around. Stories started to leak and to break. And last night, Garmin came out to confirm that they were targeted by a cyber attack. We don't really know the full scale of it as of yet. The figure of $10 million was reported on some websites. They've given us a little bit of information. They're saying that the databases were encrypted to lock Garmin out of them, but bit by bit the information is coming back, so we don't know if they paid the ransom or we don't know how it was resolved, but bit by bit Garmin users will see that information coming back. But I know a lot of people who use it, I know they're not meant to be medical devices, but a lot of people would use them as sort of a companion medical device. And so we're really and truly lost without it over the last few days. So it's far from ideal.
Somebody did get in, though, and this is obviously a concern. With the Twitter hack, and that was a compromise because they got in through people. But somehow we'll have to find out how they got into Garmin. But the reality, Jess, and speaking to those who work in cybersecurity, you know, people pay ransoms. It happens on a regular basis. And it's crime for the first time ever, it almost, they acknowledge that it does indeed pay. If you go to the trouble of getting into one of these big companies as a cyber hacker, you will actually probably get money, because otherwise they're not going to get access to that which they need.
Yeah, I did a piece on Tech Talk a few weeks ago with Jackie Fox from Accenture, who was saying that, you know, nobody wants to say, yeah, do pay the ransom. But if your business is at stake, you know, you pay it. But the danger is, and, you know, I know that Ronan Murphy, who's another guest on Tech Talk that I have quite a few times, he says that if you pay the ransom, there's no guarantee that they'll play ball and give you access to the information. The key message that I'm kind of picking up, though, since the beginning of 2020, because we've had a few of these hacks in the last little while, is that it's no longer just okay to have everything backed up to the cloud. And I think we need to start questioning our reliance on these types of services, because they can go down, they can be hacked, and bad things can happen. So I'm not by any means moving away from cloud and moving away from technology. But I do think we need to kind of look at other options in terms of backing up our own information locally where possible.
OK, let's go to questions, because many have come in. Mary is in Belmain. Good morning, Mary. Jess, is there a product available on the market to improve my mobile cover in my area, which is dreadful? I have Air.
As in the phone signal? Not really, no. You need that. That's more of a network issue. If it is dreadful, if you're on the network, if you get onto the network, they can do a test and see. And if they find it to be absolutely dreadful, they can release you from your contract and then you can move to a different network. If you're on Air, though, they have Wi-Fi calling. So if you do have decent broadband in your home, you can go into your phone settings and look for Wi-Fi calling and enable that. And what it basically does is allows you to make calls over your internet rather than relying on a crappy mobile.
But you have
reception.
To have Air and Air, don't you? You have to have Air broadband and Air mobile. If you've Virgin broadband and Air. So in other words, you're kind of caught. You have to have both of the same kind. It's not the first time this has come up. I know in my house, three brutal, absolutely brutal, Vodafone and Air work. So it depends. You might have a different network there you can use. Hi, Jess. Love your work. That's not me saying
who
that, just for the record.
Darling,
I am currently paying for Virgin Broadband, phone, Netflix, Three Mobile and Now TV. I say the whole lot is costing me about 150 a month at least. What's the best option for it to be all thrown in together? Or is better just to have broadband and TV bundle?
You know what, you can find, I've done a bit of digging on this in the last little while, and you can find great value if you go
Sky
for,
is way cheaper than that anyway, for starters.
Everything is way cheaper than that, to be honest. So Virgin Media, if you go for sort of the triple decker offering, which is TV, broadband and mobile, if you roll them all in together, you can get it for significantly cheaper than that. Virgin Media for the triple thing versus Sky for the triple thing, I think, is €73 cheaper. That's just some of the figures I have off the top of my head. So if you do go to the one provider, there are some very good deals. The key thing to watch out for, though, is that you don't get suckered in just for, you know, a 3 month price or a 6 month price. You always want to see what the bottom line is, because if you're signing up for, say, a 24 month contract, it might be a really attractive offer for 3 months and then suddenly you're paying huge money. But I think Virgin Media have great offerings at the moment. Sky are doing really good work with other partners in terms of like Disney Plus and Netflix and all the rest. So you could save on some of your subscriptions by going that way. What I do, though, is I don't really have traditional TV. So I go down the route of I have Now TV, that it's only a 30-day payment, so you can cancel it at any time. If there's, when the sport is fully back and all the rest, we'll buy the sports pass, which is an extra, I think it's £15 for the weekend, if there's a big match on. And you can kind of tailor the package you want. Because when we were looking at TV before, you get like 66 channels as standard, but sure, there's days and weeks where we don't really sit down to watch the TV.
We don't watch linear TV anymore.
No.
We now have a new problem in our household. There's so much to choose from online, we can't actually pick a program anymore.
We've
become polarized into, you know, she'll want to watch one thing and I'll want to watch another. And in the end, we start watching Zac Efron's absolutely terrible White Man's Burden style travel documentary. And I'm still angry over that.
Okay.
But that's beside the point.
We'll help
I have
you.
The. Thank you. I have the answer to the next question already. What's the best Wi-Fi extender to get? My home office is now in the attic. It's too far from the modem, two floors down. Thanks. I have it, but I can't remember what it's called. It's a thing you plug into the wall and it uses the earth of the electricity cable and it brings the Wi-Fi all around the house. What's it called again?
This is why you don't do my job.
Correct.
There's a thing called what I would recommend is the mesh, a Wi-Fi mesh. If you go for the Google one, it's around £200, but it is fantastic. So the way it works is it plugs into the back of your modem, then you have a little device that kind of bounces the signal on and it covers the entire home. I have one in my apartment and it works great. I know people who have much bigger homes than me and they work fantastic. You can also get things like TP-Link.
TP-Link. There you have it. I googled it. TP-Link
I was
is what
getting
I have.
There, hon. All right. TP-Link. They are Wi-Fi extenders. Now, the difference with the Wi-Fi link or the TP-Link versus the mesh is that the TP-Link will send the signal from one extender that you plug in to another one, whereas if you have the mesh, that will cover the entire house. It basically sort of joins the dots between the different ones to ensure that no matter what room you go into, what part of the room you go into, the signal is consistent.
But the TP-Link you can plug in as well, and you can put an Ethernet in if you're old school like me.
If you still have a device that has an Ethernet, absolutely.
Well, I had to buy an adapter.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. One quick one, Jess. I got a funny notification on my COVID tracker app on my phone. It's saying I've changed region. Do you know what that's about?
I do know what that's about. I was onto the HSE about this morning. So this is an Apple issue. It's not a COVID tracker issue, and Apple say that they are working on it, and it will be resolved within the next update. But this does not mean that your app is not working. So do not panic, do not uninstall, just ignore it, and it'll hopefully be resolved the next time Apple do an operating system update.
Yeah, do you know what I like about the COVID app more than anything else is when you go in and you ask and it says, do you have any symptoms? And I go, no. It goes, great to hear, and gives me a thumbs up. It feels like the app has been friendly towards
you're
me.
You're so which, needy, Jonathan.
You wouldn't get it from anywhere around here.
No,
let's
you
put
wouldn't.
It that way. Jess Kelly, News Talk's tech correspondent. Pleasure as always, Jess. Thanks for that.